Welcome everyone to the TalkCC podcast. TalkCC is a cultural hub in the heart of Brussels. In our podcast, we host artists and partners to talk about various topics related to the environment, culture, and we invite them to share life experiences. Welcome to this new episode. Today we're going to talk about a new exhibition at TalkCC that is going to take place in April 2023 until June 2023. This exhibition is about seas and oceans. It will regroup both scientists and a lot of talented artists. To talk about this today, we have Noël, who you may have heard about before in the second episode of this podcast. She's a climatologist and an artist. And we have Matthew, one of the founder of TalkCC. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, everybody.
How is it going?
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure.
My name is Dr. Noël Baker. I am a climate scientist at the Royal Belgian Institute for Space Aeronomy, and I'm also a Science for Policy working group member with the EGU.
And I'm Mathieu Duchateau, co-founder of TalkCC, a cultural incubator based in Ixelles, just by Brussels and the EU Parliament.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine.
Amazing.
Amazing. You woke up this morning and you thought, let's do a podcast today.
Yeah, actually, let's do two in the day.
So let's start maybe with a proper introduction of the exhibition. What is it about? Tell us.
I will be very happy to do this. The Season and Ocean Exposition is happening in the 20th of April 23. It's an exposition bringing together more than 40 artists, 20 scientists so far. During the exposition, you can find immersive, interactive art pieces, performances, conferences, educative workshops. You could also take a part into the Science Cafe to have direct exchange with the scientists. Towards the public, we also bring a mediation with an ambition to bring towards the public an educative exhibition. We actually introduce them to each concept, and we tell them actually how we created every piece. So this mediation is actually very important. It's really a part to create accessibility towards the public, to explain the research, the way we do things, why we do them, and our hopes actually of bringing educational content out there, but also content that actually just bring you emotions so you can actually relate directly to it.
Okay. Very, very cool. I mean, that's my point of view, but you, Noël, as a scientist and an artist, what do you think of this this kind of exhibition?
So I think it's fun to talk about this from the perspective of, first off, purely as a scientist, why do we get into science? And I think for a lot of people, myself included, it's because we have such a huge amount of passion for understanding the way the world works and discovering and learning and finding new ways to explain things and really just the richness of understanding life and nature and everything around us is why we get into science. And we also have this desire to have some kind of impact in the research that we do. We don't want to just do science. We also want to tell people about it and to have some positive effect on the world. And I think for a lot of other scientists, it becomes not just an important part of doing the science, but an important part of what drives us as humans to communicate what we do. And that communication, I think, is so incredibly critical for being a scientist and for connecting to others and explaining our passion about what it is we're doing. And this exhibition is one of the few opportunities that I've really seen that gives scientists a chance to explain their science in a way that is outside of what we normally do. So usually scientists communicating is to other scientists. It's dry, it's very highly technical, highly scientific, and it's difficult for the average person to understand. And I think something like this that brings in the ability to connect to people on a different level is something truly unique and really valuable, because it means that we're able to show what we do and the passion that we have, but also to explain it in a way that lets other people feel the passion too.
Yes.
Okay. And to really connect to them on an emotional level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because after all, scientists are not just cold-hearted people looking at data.
And I think the proof of that is that so many scientists willingly, in our own free time, take part in outreach and in different types of communication with school kids or with talks for the public. It's something that we already do as part of our profession. We love doing it because we're so passionate and excited about what we do. And this is such a unique way for us to do it. So those of us who've given a talk before, maybe it's to an audience that's already somewhat familiar with the science, or to kids, you have to break it down in a different way and explain things from a very basic perspective. But to talk to an artist it's a unique experience because they're bringing in their own perspectives and their own ways of translating information and their own hopes and dreams and sensitivities, and it's a wonderful mixture of the passions of the two different people coming together to explain a concept, and that I find beautiful.
So, and you yourself, you're gonna do something for the exhibition, I guess, right?
Yeah, I'm planning to have my own artwork that'll be displayed at the exhibition as well. I'm very excited about that.
Like, you are the bridge between the scientist and the artist world. Mm-hmm. What do you think of this collaboration between these two worlds?
Well, it's so funny because in science, we're driven by wanting to try new things, to push our limits and to discover. But that also perfectly describes artists and,
of course, yes.
And how artists work. So it's very synergistic between the two callings, the two walks of life, I think, parallel each other in beautiful ways. And for me, a lot of what I do in art is a communication of the things that I've seen through science and me trying to process and express myself and to communicate with others through this medium. And I've found that I'm able to connect with people on a much different and sometimes deeper level through my art than I can just by talking about it through science.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like they say, right, an image is worth 1,000 words, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't it? When I try to imagine like the collaboration between a scientist and an artist, I see like 100 pages of data, raw and statistics and you know, graphs.
No.
And someone who's trying to put emotions on paper or on whatever. So the mix of both is... It's hard to imagine. Am I looking at an amazing chart with a lot of colors? What am I looking at? So how, because Matthew, I guess you are in touch with this collaboration program with the artist and the scientist. How is it going between them? How is the dialogue between them?
Well, I'm actually, yes, in touch really a lot every day. Nowadays, I will tell you this. At a very human level, it was, I think, something that a lot of people in art have wished to actually talk about serious subject through their art. And for scientists, I have seen the involvement of the scientists in the way they express themselves, they jump on the project, so much energy and passion to take your world out. It's quite incredible because they're so similar. At the same time, scientists will look for something they need. An artist will actually create something nobody needs. And I see the two as complementary. I'm personally an expert in gamification and through video games I start. And gamification is this way of creating an accessible understanding, content, something you could play with. In my area, for gaming, for example, we have created stuff that wasn't needed. But as scientist people, when they come after and they look at what we do, they find applications. So somebody will actually go for the focus and somebody will go for the expansion. Bringing the two together is something that is remarkable. I've seen the conversation going. It's just two human talking and it goes really fast where it needs to go. Mm. We thought at start it would be very hard to bring a plastician artist with somebody that actually studies stars and knows the universe was formulated. the crazy thing, it ends up being texture, colors, emotions also. What do you need to feel, or do you need to approach it? What is really the value added, and what do you want to really represent and transmit towards the public? So it goes actually easier than we have thought. Sure, the patient help, but I also think we always have been linked in our research. The phase where we meet, one being the focus, one being the expansion, is still the research. The goal of trying to explain something to yourself and towards other, to other people, that's really something that's natural in humans.
Yeah.
And that's what we see every day doing this right now.
Yeah, it's true. The feedback has been wonderful from both sides, what I've seen so far. The scientists love being able to talk about their research, naturally. and the artists are so excited to ask questions and learn and understand, even questions that might be surprising, like I didn't even think about this. And they're asking because they're seeing it in a perspective that, as from my scientist side, I might not have thought about. And then when we meet somewhere, we cross in the explanation and the understanding, and something new comes out of it. And it's wonderful.
Yeah, because the brains are not wired the same. No, well, the creativity works differently. So.
But when you meet, really, it's quite a beautiful thing to see.
Actually, to continue on what you were saying, I have seen Mr. Copy talking with a whole lot of scientists involved. And the artist was asking questions that scientists wasn't expecting. Texture, color, pressure, what's the quality you want to explain when you talk about Mars, Venus, for example. That was a conversation back there. About the fact that the ocean disappear, and about the fact that no, they are dry, sterile environment. And the whole poetic aspect of actually asking all of those references to build an art piece around, first the scientist, but the scientist was like, okay, I didn't thought you were going to ask me all of those questions.
Yeah.
But sure. if you're an artist and if you can do something like this crazy that is walking with a scientist, it's an amazing experience, and you're going to take it all. You're going to ask all of the questions.
Yeah.
You're going to go in everywhere to create in your mind the first picture that you want to represent. And that's where it went very interesting, because scientists was actually surprised of the number of questions
and the equity, type of questions and the the direction it was taking. Yeah,
and this is actually what I found remarkable, even wonderful in this. This pleasure they had to exchange. I believe if the research have been so peaceful for everybody, the realization of the art will be, the result will be, and hopefully the public will feel it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and scientists in general are notoriously bad at communicating too, at least to the average person. I mean, we're not trained in it at all. This is a big problem. When we learn about science, we often learn jargon and highly technical words and just things that the average person either won't understand because you're not taught it, or it means something totally different in your field. And so when you're communicating, you really have to learn a whole new skill set that we're not used to. So something like this, I don't see as just being beneficial for the expo. I don't see this just as being beneficial for the public. It absolutely is. But I also see this being beneficial for the artists and the scientists. Because you're being forced to think in a new way. You're being forced to change your perspective and your methods and your way of communicating. It's quite powerful, because then both sides come out better at the end. I mean, clearly the artists have gotten a short science lesson in whatever expertise the scientist brings, and the scientist has gotten a new perspective on how to communicate, which really we definitely need more of.
But the general theme of this event is still oceans, right? So, because you talked about
astronomy.
But it's not going to be all about the stars and everything, I guess, right? It's also about what the pollution of the oceans and stuff like that. What is it going to be about?
Well, it depends on the expertise of whoever's coming into it.
Seas and oceans as our large subject, to just put it in mind of the people, 70% of this planet is blue for a good reason. It's oceans. So why talking about stars? Well, let's talk about the moon. you know, tides.
Okay.
Without moon, no tides. Without tides, no movement of winds. So the whole planet is a full ecosystem that is just not only about the planet itself. It's about the planet and the moon, solar system, everything around it, everything being interconnected. Actually, precious to understand that one of the main actually problem right now in ecology is the oceans. If we want to have a real impact to what we have to face now with climate change, it's very important for everybody to understand that protecting the ocean, where the life came from and emerged at start on Earth, is one of the most critical points. Mm-hmm. And it's something that actually bring us together. That's something that have bring life to Earth, but this is also what could stop it. Mm-hmm. Ocean acidification is a problem, but it's not the only problem. The ocean is full of positive and negative things happening to it at every second. We should take care. That's why it's a large subject. Mm-hmm. That's why also it's a theme of this expo. It's time we understand where we came from.
And humans have always been tied inexorably to oceans. I mean, for our entire history, we have created communities next to bodies of water because we need it. We needed to survive. And as soon as we could travel, we figured out how to create ships. I mean, the sense of adventure and exploration has always been very strong. Humanity needs to understand the oceans because water is the source of life, and it's absolutely necessary for our future of survival.
Let's put it this way. It's a salty subject.
And you can take it in lots of different directions, too. I mean, studying oceans can also be done by studying what happens on other planets. So that was one of the conversations.
Like on Mars, right?
Exactly. So we've recently learned that we have polar ice caps on Mars and that there used to be ancient oceans. Well, why did they disappear? What happened on Mars? And could that be a warning for what's happening on Earth? These kind of things help us better understand the science in general, but it also helps us give a bit of a cautionary tale to how we treat our own planet and what its future could be. I mean, Earth is, we're very lucky. It's really an incredibly unique situation we have on this planet, that it's just the right temperature, that we have seasons due to a bizarre axis tilt that none of the other planets have. And we have a huge source of water from, many different factors that play into this that allows us to be alive. And you look at our two closest planets, Venus and Mars, you see cautionary tales on both sides about what can happen if that perfection is disturbed, if we don't take care of this tiny little rock in space that we're currently occupying.
An amazing subject, an amazing expo to come, and we all welcome you for it. And
what is the goal of this event? Of course, it's to educate, I guess, the people, but also showing arts about this theme. But what is the goal behind it?
We are messengers, but we didn't want it a very dark message. It's true, it's going bad, let's be honest. Mm. But being always bringing the bad news to people isn't the best thing scientists have done to themselves. A lot of people have cut themselves from science because science just tells them the truth, and it's our truth. What we need now is a way to still bring it towards the people that resist it, because there is a lot of people that already know. But to bring in everybody, we needed something accessible. Art and culture are the fundamentals of communication at start. So it's really a way for us to create a new path towards linking people to those challenges. And I'm telling you, it's urgent we do it. So I'm very happy it's going this way so fast. Even us as Talk CEC, we are surprised every day by the speed of like all of those collaboration happening, all of those people coming towards us. It's amazing. Mm. Mm-hmm. It means that there is already a bit of sensibilization that have been done.
There's momentum.
Yeah, there is a momentum, and there is so much will from people. So it's an amazing time to actually meet each other, and I welcome you to drop by when it's happening.
When I first appeared on your podcast, I talked about how I was experiencing ecological grief from through being a climate scientist and experiencing, seeing every day news about how bad things are and how poorly humanity has treated the environment. I'm happy to say now that I have worked through some of my grief, and I think I'm at the point where I'm getting back hope again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good to know from you actually see the data and see everything's going on.
Indeed, it's been a tough time because this affects me deeply. I'm still human. Even if I want to see everything that's happening on the planet, it hurts me. It's psychologically damaging to be exposed to it. But I still care and I still want to put effort into it. But I have been able to find some of that hope again by doing activism in my own time and by seeing just how many people really care about this and care enough to put their time and energy and to learn, to understand, and to communicate. People really are putting a lot of themselves into this. This is the momentum that's happening now, and it's something so incredibly important. If we are not standing up and saying something and doing something, we're going to regret it. I mean, generations will look back and ask, why didn't you do enough when you still couldn't?
I feel like we're already regretting a little bit, right?
Absolutely.
We are the last decade. Yeah. To put it simply, if we don't do anything this decade, we're all doomed. So every year, it's not that people are converted to ecology, so just cannot deny. Mm-hmm. As animals, we just see a very hard fact and we'd want to close our eyes. And I understand we do this. I've done it. Eco-anxiety is a new term to tell you you're depressed because you know so much about ecology. But it's not the ecology that's making you anxious. It's the fact that we actually are destroying it, not considering it. Yeah. And the youth is actually claiming its time.
Yes.
Because they're going to live for it. It's not like before my death, I'm going to see an amazing, sad number of catastrophe and calls that just going to tell you, like, change now. It's time. So, yes, we have hope. But yeah, we have also data. We see more people every year in Climate March. We see more involvement from civilian institutions and even private companies. They know if they want to survive to what's happening, they will have to evolve. Everybody need to change.
And there's
this is a good thing.
There's a big call too in the scientific community who has in the past remained as unbiased as possible because we try to be pure, unbiased bystanders of the science and just reporting it. But more and more scientists, there's a massive movement towards science policy and efforts to...
And education, sort of, right?
Well, education also, but science policy in particular, there is a movement of scientists to get either directly involved through some kind of activism or to even go into politics themselves because we have seen so much in our own research that we feel compelled to try and change things. And that should show you, really. Yeah. I mean, I feel like sometimes we're the front line of what's been happening, and it's not enough now to just talk about it. Really, people are standing up and making an effort, and I feel like this expo is one of the unique ways for us to feel like we can reach more people.
True. Yeah, it reminds me that I saw a video on Instagram of a researcher from NASA, and she was an expert on the long title. A very smart title that you don't even remember afterwards. And she was just explaining basically like the climate change affects, this is what's going to happen in the next 10 years. This is what's happening right now. Yes, we have proof of this and this and this. So the fact that such an institution would just go and on Instagram with to reach the maximum population, maximum audience and tells people, you know, America is great, NASA is amazing, but listen to me, you know, this is really happening. I'm not lying, I'm not a political biased or something. And I feel like when those sort of moral authority recognize that something is happening.
And not just recognize, but stand up and say
stand
something.
Stand up, exactly. Stand
That's
up
the
say.
Big difference. A lot of people don't even know NASA has a website that's entirely devoted to showing of the evidence of climate change, not just for adults. There's also a parallel one for kids that explains it in very simple ways with educational tools. it's all out there. And many of my former colleagues at NASA are working very hard to increase this presence and to better educate, because it is such a trusted organization. And so many scientists who work at NASA are working directly on climate change issues and need people to understand this is something we're doing. It's not a question anymore. We need to stand up and make a difference. Well, we're hoping we don't just inspire the people who attend, but also perhaps other organizations to take similar efforts and to hopefully continue what Talk CEC's efforts will be in the future, to keep having expos like this.
The first big exhibition about...
It's the first expo actually to test a new concept, a new way of collaboration, a new way to talk and mediate towards the public. Mm-hmm. But it's also a huge opportunity. A huge opportunity to start something that do matter, that do move us from artists to scientists. We're all human, moved by this project now. And to give a bit of closing to this conversation, the only way we can start changing things is by actually organizing those type of events. That's why, to say it again, on the 20th of April, 23, we all welcome you to Talk CC, to the Season Ocean exhibition.
All right. That sounds like closing. Thank you, Matthew. Thank you, Noel.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks to you.
And see you next time.